Welcome back, Michael Warren Thomas with Discover the Finger Lakes at SaverLife.com. And I was encouraged to see a report of FingerLakes1.com. This actually, they borrowed from Cornell, the Cornell Chronicle, about a building in Waterloo that is going to be turned into an arts center. And I don't recall if I've driven by this building or not. It's at 38 Washington Street. It's been in decline for a couple of decades, and it's, I guess, right on the Cayuga-Seneca Canal. A three-story brick building, and it started out as an organ company, 1897, around then. And right now it's like a can redemption business, just a part of the first floor. So this kind of story, for a couple of reasons, I really love it. It's talking about reusing, repurposing an existing building, which retains the history. And although the exterior doesn't look very good right now, the photos that are part of the article of the interior look like this. This is going to be a really cool space. And it's like 7,600 square feet. So you can see some photos and the article at FingerLakes1.com. And the article is about Cornell's involvement in this. The students, in particular, nine students, design students from the College of Architecture, Art, and Planning, got involved. This is Design Connect, which is, according to the article, student-run community design organization. And they designed a concept for this Waterloo Art Center. And they've got a couple parts to the proposal. The article says elements include new window systems, insulation, ground floor exhibition space and bookstore, skylights, a roof deck, portable stage, two artist residences, 20 flexible studios, ceramic and photographic studios, and a sweeping ground floor atrium that extends to the third floor. That sounds really cool. And can't wait to see whether they can get the funding to do this. It's going to cost less than $1 million to more than $1 million, depending on exactly what is done. But they really need a design that needs something to sell in order, in a sense, to get funding, maybe grants, investors, etc. And really, this is a sort of inspirational design. And we have many examples around the Finger Lakes of buildings that have been repurposed, reused, and we've got a lot more work to do. There are tons of buildings from this era, late 1800s, mid late 1800s, early 1900s, that are in decline. This one, again, basically 20 years of decline, are near the sort of tipping point of whether they can be saved or not. And I was just driving through High Falls by a couple of the stone buildings in High Falls, Rochester. The one in particular, old sort of gray stone building, which was barely saved. It was, as I recall, a building that some people thought should be demolished and couldn't be saved, but they were able to, and it's now one of the iconic buildings in High Falls. So I was glad to see Finger Lakes One highlighting this, and the Waterloo, Seneca Falls have a lot of potential for tourism. If they can only close the landfill as it's supposed to close in 2025. And of course, it doesn't want to, because there's money to be made in trash, and they're bringing in lots of it from New York City, like 6,000 tons a day, every day, 24/7, coming from New York City. And they will expand that for decades to come if allowed. And it's still going to be a big battle to have them close in 2025 as they previously agreed to. So we'll have more information on that as that battle continues. But you know, this is, I think, a sign of what the future holds for Waterloo and Seneca Falls if they can only close the stinking landfill. And it is the odors from this landfill are so noxious that you would just leave the downtown of Waterloo or Seneca Falls, depending on which way the wind's blowing. It's not something you can just, you know, breathe through your nose or breathe through your mouth instead of your nose. It's really just noxious fumes. And we have the National Women's Hall of Fame in Seneca Falls, which is in a stunning former linen mill. This is going to be such a gem. A lot of the work has been done, and they still have some more to do, but as the pandemic ends, this linen mill in Seneca Falls is going to be one of the tourism highlights of our region, of the state. It's that much of an iconic building that it's in and has a fantastic story behind it. And a National Women's Hall of Fame has been on Main Street in Seneca Falls, has moved to this location, and I'm not sure if the first floor is open right now or maybe will be as the pandemic ends, but it's a place you should at least drive by, and you can see it from so this is on the south side of the canal. You can see it from Main Street, depending on where you are on, there are buildings that hide it from Main Street in Seneca Falls in some areas, but you can drive down to the waterfront and see it, or walk down there, and it really is just such a cool building. And I'm very excited about it opening and tourism returning, so that these things that make our region unique and are just under appreciated, underutilized, just not well known around the country. Things like the National Women's Hall of Fame has been working on this for probably the last decade to get this building, to get the funding, looking for a new site, a permanent site from where they are in downtown Seneca Falls. And it's fortunate for our region that they found the location right in downtown Seneca Falls. And again, took a building that was largely abandoned, I think. I can't say I noticed this building before they started the renovation work. I probably don't remember it just because it wasn't in great condition, but it's a huge building, and exciting for Waterloo and Seneca Falls to have these projects in the works. And you know, we wear a mask, get the COVID vaccine as soon as you are eligible, and we can and continue to wear a mask, we can return to more normal life. Hedge our bets by wearing a mask, which is really a pretty small thing to do in the scope of things as we come out of this. Also, probably have some updates in the next couple weeks on the Bitcoin mining operation, which is on Seneca Lake. Just posted a video of it on Facebook if you want to look that up. And there's a big group of volunteers working on this to shut down the expansion that they want to do and expand the industrial operations around Seneca Lake by having 30,000 computers doing Bitcoin mining 24/7. Just bizarre. The more I learn about it, the more I can't believe that another one of these types of operations has popped up in the Finger Lakes. And this right in the middle of, or midway down the west side of Seneca Lake in Dresden. So if you want to get involved and help protect the Finger Lakes, this is a matter not just visually, but of air, water, and soil quality. This is a crucial project to right now halt the movement toward expansion, and then find a way to get this company to live up to what it's supposed to do, which it hasn't done in terms of finishing studies on air, water, and pollution in general. So you can go to SenecaLakeGuardian.org and get more information. SenecaLakeGuardian.org. Great people that are working, you know, again, as volunteers to try to protect the region, the beauty of the region, the fresh water of the region. Within the last few years, we're seeing how important fresh water is, and how we need to protect that resource. And half of the fresh water in the Finger Lakes is in Seneca Lake, which is a stunning lake, gorgeous lake. But these industrial operations are just antithetical to the most of the businesses that operate in our region. This Bitcoin mining is not helping anyone other than the owners of the power plant that are mining these Bitcoins. It's just kind of insane. But there are lots of other cool things that are going on as throughout the region. And we could promote those, we could invest in them, we could do many things with them, many more things, if we weren't so distracted by these kinds of industrial operations where, you know, people are spending hundreds of hours, thousands of dollars, and in the long run probably tens of thousands of dollars fighting these between legal fees and just the time that volunteers are spending, the printing costs, the mailing costs of it all adds up, and it's all a diversion from making our region better. We're just spending this money trying to stay in place, which Yvonne Taylor from Seneca Lake Guardian referred to it as like a whack-a-mole game. You knock one down like the trash incinerator in Romulus, and up pops Bitcoin mining. And we'll knock that down, and up will pop something else. And it's really crazy way to go about living our lives and trying to build a region for a tourism destination. So there's also... This was just a couple of days ago. Got a note that we're getting a little bit closer to the Finger Lakes being a National Heritage Area. And you can send your input on this before June 1st. The National Park Service wants input about the Finger Lakes region becoming this heritage area. The Ithaca Journal had a nice article on this. You just look up Finger Lakes National Heritage Area, you'll probably find it. The comment period ends June 1st, and this is for the feasibility study. And it started just about a week ago. And the regional chief of planning for the National Park Service said in a press release, that's Alan Cooper, quoted in the Ithaca Journal, input from the public regarding the creation of a National Heritage Area in the Finger Lakes is critical to the study process. We also hope to learn more about the region from the people who know it best. And this was authorized in 2019, this feasibility study. And it's this kind of designation would have a huge impact on industrial operations that want to expand in the area. And the Erie Canalway National Heritage Corridor overlaps some of the parts of this Finger Lakes area. And it's, again, from their request, clearly the National Park Service is looking for people who live here, who are excited about our area, to tell them that. And you know, this basically comes down to our advocating for this function. The article, excellent article about some of the advantages of being a national heritage area. And again, read it, consider sending in some comments before June 1st, and ask some friends and neighbors and family to send some comments in. We cannot possibly send them too many comments. So, you know, make it specific, make it personal, make it, factual, and passionate. That's what's going to tip this decision, this feasibility study, toward protecting our region. There's federal funding that comes with this designation, if we are to get it, and a lot of resources that become available to the Finger Lakes. So again, just this process, this is going to go to the Secretary of Interior, going to be sent to Congress. It's going to take through, they say, through 2023. Just having people read about our region, to have it prominently and lots of people advocating for it, it helps our region tremendously. Even if this didn't go through, the process is beneficial for our region. And I think there's some fantastic arguments to be made that that we will get this designation. Some of the questions that perhaps could be answered in your comments to the National Park Service. What is it about the Finger Lakes that has had and continues to have an impact on the country? And why can that story only be told in the Finger Lakes? One of the things that they say, agriculture often tends to be a response the Park Service receives to that question in feasibility studies. But they want people to explain why agriculture in their region is special. Why should I in Denver, Colorado, have an understanding of that place so that it will enrich my experience as an American? There's so much in the Finger Lakes that we have to offer the country as amazing heritage here. So they have a lot of links. There's a draft narrative summary of the National Park Service's research. There's an online story map explaining the study's purpose. You can link to those. Again, IthacaJournal.com has a really good story about this and the links. So I hope you will participate, advocate for the Finger Lakes. We need to do both things. We need to spend time and some money protecting the lakes from industrial operations that want to expand, like landfills and power plants that just are just mining Bitcoin. They're expanding to do Bitcoin. They're not expanding to provide power to, you know, to anyone. The whole expansion is solely for Bitcoin mining. Although they do provide a little bit of power and have for many years, it's all about Bitcoin mining with this expansion. So we need to fight those battles, but also go after opportunities like this, which a lot of people have already put in tons of work to get us considered for a national heritage designation. U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand was instrumental in getting that process started back in 2019 was when the feasibility study was authorized, but the process to get this to that point started probably 2, 3, 4 years before that. So again, we need to step up for our region if we want to protect it and see it fulfill its potential, which is not for Bitcoin mining, at least in my mind. So if you want links, connections to any of these, email me, michael@saverlife.com, and pass this information along to family, friends, and neighbors. We'll be back tomorrow with the Grapevine at 9 a.m. Enjoy this cold summer day. Warmer weather is on the way. And as I mentioned during the gardening show, the George Eastman Museum has just a huge area of winter aconite that will be in full bloom, probably with the sunshine on Tuesday and Wednesday. It's at the entrance off East Avenue under the big beech tree. Not that visible from the road, but if you drive into the Eastman Museum, you will see it on your right. And that sea of bright yellow bulbs in bloom is just what we need right now as winter comes to an end. Oh, have a great day. Michael Warren Thomas here at SaverLife.com.